Welcome to Here and There, the podcast of the Germanic American Institute. This is Günther hosting. It is Sunday, September 26th, 2021, a day of significance in the German political landscape as the Germans decide who will follow in Angela Merkel's footsteps. She is stepping down after 16 years as Chancellor of Germany. Who it could possibly be, what it means for the Germans, who is actually even in the race to succeed Chancellor Merkel. This is the topic of today. We have enlisted expert power, if I might say, with Catherine, one of our esteemed teachers, who also holds a PhD in political science, coming up in today's episode. This is the podcast of the Germanic American Institute.
Welcome.
Where Germanic-speaking European countries,
Germany,
Deutschland,
Austria,
Österreich,
Switzerland,
Schweiz,
blend with the Midwestern United States.
Hallo. Hallo.
Servus.
Grüezi.
We are here and there, and we invite you to come along on the journey. I guess one of the biggest topics in Europe, obviously, is the upcoming election in Germany. It has the potential to change the political landscape in the European Union, also alongside, of course, the landscape in Germany. Chancellor Merkel is stepping down after 16 years, handing over the reins to somebody else. The question, of course, is who could it possibly be? What are the circumstances? What is there possibly to expect? So looking truly from the outside in, we have Katrin back on the podcast. Katrin, hello.
Moin.
Moin. And Audra, of course, hello.
Hello.
And Katrin, your background in politics and political science makes you the expert here at the GEI by far more than I could ever be. So let me just basically propose the question, I suppose, as to what are we even looking at here? I mean, yes, 16 years is just a phenomenally long run as a chancellor, and change doesn't necessarily come easy in Germany, and this has the potential for just significant change. What is the landscape like right now? What are we even looking at? What is the situation overall?
Does it, though? Does it have the potential for significant change? I'm not entirely sure about that at this point. Basically, we have three leading candidates. That would, of course, be Armin Laschet, who is the candidate of the CDU, so Merkel's own party, who is trailing behind at this point. We have Olaf Scholz, who is the leading candidate of the Social Democrats, who is actually way ahead. And then we have Annalena Baerbock, who is in third place, and she's from the Green Party. She sort of gambled away fairly significant jump in the polls, but things haven't been going so well for her exactly. On the other hand, Olaf Scholz, his numbers keep rising and rising and rising, while Armin Laschet's numbers kept falling. And why is that? I'm assuming you're going to ask. Well, wouldn't we all like to know? There's speculation, of course. Annalena Baerbock, who presented herself as the moral choice, and not in the sense of moral majority Christian as it would be here, more like the, you know, common bourgeois choice with some morals and certainly an emphasis on climate politics. She got wrapped up in a couple of mini scandals. She embellished her resume. Apparently, she copied some passages from her book that did not go down well. Not that that is all that unusual, but if you're running on, you know, I'm the clean candidate, that really does not increase credibility. I mean, Laschet, yeah, I don't really even know what to say. I mean, he's just kind of there, but there with a negative connotation. He visited, of course, the flooding areas in Western Germany and was caught giggling in the background when somebody was giving a speech in the middle of the flooding that did not go down well. He seems to have missteps quite a bit and just does not connect well with the German public, it feels like. He really has a problem of being relatable, not because he's such an extraordinarily, you know, different person or something. There is just not this ability to actually connect. Well, and then, of course, we have Olaf Scholz, who has now the nickname the other Merkel, because he basically is what Frau Merkel stood for 16 years. He's calm. He is, as we say in German, unaufgeregt, so unexcited, but in the most positive connotation possible. He reacts. He has become a lot friendlier, a lot more open than he was even 4 years ago. And he has just kind of been there and not been doing much, but because the other two basically deconstructed themselves, he is now in the lead. Basically, we can say he did the least mistakes, and he projects an aura of calm, which of course in these days is a big advantage. And one of the big, characteristics that Angela Merkel always had.
So if we're comparing election in Germany to the election in the US, is it anywhere as volatile, as mudslinging, as negatively infused, or does it have a more, I would say, reasonable positive spin where people and the media generally look at the content of the message as opposed to how many errors and mistakes did a person make?
I don't think they're comparable. I mean, take alone the money situation. There are limits in Germany on what you can spend. And then if you win or if you get into the parliament, you're reimbursed by the government. But again, I don't have exact numbers, but the amount of money that flows in Germany for elections is a fraction of what is happening in the US. In general, politics in Germany is a bit more muted than it is in the US. I mean, here you have the extremes on the right, the extremes on the left, and whoever screams the loudest, gets the most people listening to them, and a lot of times also the most votes, as we saw in the past 4 years. I don't know that it is particularly comparable. As far as a positive campaign goes, if we're looking at the campaign spots, really the only party that has a positive message was really the Green Party. The other parties are more about, how horrible everything is and how doomed everything is and that we need the fixers to basically get us out of the crisis. While the Green Party more concentrates on a life or world worth living in for everybody.
Well, I was just curious if you had any knowledge of where voters are skewing, like are younger voters skewing towards one party over another? Where do older voters tend to lie? Or is it a state by state thing as well?
The election now is being dubbed as the old versus young election. If the people over 65 would have to say, it would be the CDU that would be ruling. The CDU as a party has the highest average age of members. I think it's 68 or something like that. If the people under 18 were voting, it would be a clear win for the Green Party. No doubt about it. And let's keep in mind, they're not particularly radical or even particularly left. You know, there's always this idea, oh, they're environmentalists, they must be like super left wing. They're not. They're really coming, as opposed to the Social Democrats, from a very middle of the society bourgeois background. I mean, all these people are very educated, not the same as here. You know, it does not mean you're a leftist. They're all, coming from really the middle of society. So that is a very interesting development. And it's going to be even more interesting to see what happens when these young people come of age and get older.
So from a perspective of Innenpolitik, so the inner politics in Germany, which do you think would be, I suppose, the best future direction for Germany to take? Because as we see, the refugee topic is continuing. COVID, of course, continues to be a large topic. Economics, the European Union, the way it's shaped and how certain countries support other countries that are perhaps not as strong within the European Union. Where do you believe the parties steer Europe and Germany within Europe and the European Union to the most benefit of the Germans?
Yeah, that is a very good question, isn't it? And what does to the benefit or the most benefit of the Germans mean? I mean, does it mean economically? Does it mean environmentally? Do these two exclude each other? That is what Germany, like many other nations, are wrestling with right now. It is clear that after the immense floodings that happened in Germany this year, climate policy is a lot more on the forefront. Even the CDU, which tends to ignore it and really has the past 14 or 16 years under Merkel, they are now talking about it. It's in their campaigning spot. It's, you know, amazing. But of course, the Green Party kind of has the, you know, I don't know what you even call it, the birthright over that topic, I want to say. And it no doubt will influence all levels of policy, domestic policy making. COVID, on the other hand, I mean, Germany is at 65% vaccination rate right now. Not many people are getting vaccinated at this point. We'll see. I will see. So, Merkel has managed the crisis, but we are not, you know, quite clear yet how well this was done. And I think there are serious doubts on how well Herr Laschet is going to manage any crisis, as his state was really one that was very slow to pick up on any sort of measures when the rest of the country had already put them into place.
So as far as COVID is concerned, perhaps the situation is not quite as pronounced as in the US, where we're almost 50-50 split down the middle. But Germany does have more in terms of percentage vaccinated individuals, not quite as many as Denmark, which I believe is way into the 70s of full vaccination. So you think there is sort of a little bit of a stalemate in terms of here are the people that are vaccinated and the rest, the remaining 34%, what have you, they're just dead set. This is not going to happen. And no matter what the political outcome is, it will not necessarily change their mind.
Well, if you believe the polls, the true anti-vaxxer movement is not really that strong. It lies around 5%. So the people in between basically can be and want to be convinced. You know, they're still not sure. They are not going to grow, I don't know, purple bumps in 10 years or something. I think for many of them, it is still not entirely clear how they would benefit from this vaccination. Of course, now you have rules in Germany where you can only enter restaurants or public buildings or whatever if you are either tested or vaccinated or have recovered. I think one of the big problems of this election is that society in general and in particular is so in flux. We don't know where this trip is going, right? Is COVID going to be a thing of the past come the end of winter? Are we going to have another variant? You know, climate politics, where are we going? It's all so incredibly unclear.
So that's sort of the perspective of the Innenpolitik, so the politics within Germany. What about the global stage? Do you know how much other countries, particularly the US, obviously, in our case here, is paying attention to the election, whether they have any favorites going into this election, who they would prefer to represent Germany on the global stage?
I don't know, Günther. I have really absolutely no idea.
No, I mean, the idea that you actually didn't follow this makes a lot of sense, because when I look at news media, there are not a lot of waves about the German election. It seems almost as if it's just a byline, if you will. There is not a lot of focus spent on this, which I find really surprising, considering the, for one, American-German relations. For another, of course, the prominence of Germany within the European Union.
Well, I don't know that for the American government, it really makes a big difference whether the Social Democrats or the Christian Democrats are winning. They are both pretty much middle of the road. I mean, yes, Social Democrats a little bit left of center, Christian Democrats a little bit right of center. Although, let's keep in mind that the right of center party in power got Germany out of nuclear power, instituted gay marriage, you know, after some, you know, dinking around, but still it's there now. They have done a lot of the things that nobody would have ever thought possible with a more conservative government. So I think from an American perspective, they know, you know, Germany is going to be more or less a reliable partner. It's not really going to matter. So, I mean, relations could be probably better at this point. Today, the Biden administration finally announced that the borders will become open again for European countries from the Schengen area with vaccination and possibly tests. But it's not like the US has paid insane attention to this election, at least not publicly.
Which
and
makes
frankly,
sense, yeah.
Mr. Biden has other worries at this point. I think Germany is not high on his list here.
Yeah, it also, I mean, this is exactly echoed, if you will, in the headlines, that there's not a lot of attention paid to what's going on in Germany. Of course, you as a German, me as an Austrian, I don't have that many connections in Germany or contacts at all that could give me sort of a feel of the temperature in Germany. What's it like over there right now? What are people feeling? What are they saying? Just within the people that you know, just to get sort of the N equals one rather than the big statistics.
I think a general feeling is that this needs to be over soon, right? Elections are on Sunday, and I think everybody is really ready. They had these three discussions now with the three top candidates, so Baerbock, Laschet, and Scholz on TV, three of them. And I think people are a little bit over it and just want the election to happen, want to know where is this going, and what is going to happen otherwise. We don't have this much time to deal with this. There are other more pressing issues. And if you remember 4 years ago, the election did not result in an immediate decision or coalition. Nobody had enough votes, really. There were very long negotiations. The FDP, the Free Democrats, they pulled out of negotiations all of a sudden, and everybody had to start over. It took a while, so much so that the president of Germany, which is mainly representative office, stepped in and said, you guys need to figure this out. You have a job to do. You have an obligation to your citizens. So I think people are just ready for it to be over.
So with the state of readiness of just saying we're done, because it seems that much as it is in the US, also, of course, in Europe, we have larger items to deal with, namely COVID and who's getting vaccinated, who's staying home, who's continuing to work from home, and who's going back to the office. I would say that all these individual personal light items perhaps overshadow that which is of political significance. Let's just go fast forward since we're recording this pre-election. What do you believe the outcome is going to be? Is there a particular trend that you're looking at? Is there anything where you'd say, yeah, this is probably a safe bet in regards to the outcome? Or are the numbers still fluctuating quickly enough that anything can just about happen?
Well, if I could give you a firm answer to that, I would probably be, you know, not working at the GEI at this point, but in some political polling situation. I don't know. I mean, I think it's fairly clear that the SPD at this point is going to win. The CDU also lost points with the whole Afghanistan situation, but the SPD to some degree as well, since they are in the government right now, and the foreign minister is in the SPD. We'll see. I mean, the Jamaica coalition is certainly a possibility with the Christian Democrats and the Green Party and the Free Democrats. However, that's what was trying to happen last time, and then the Free Democrats pulled out, and Christian Lindner from the Free Democrats already said that that is possibly not going to happen. There is a coalition, of course, between the Green Party and the Social Democrats, possibly with the addition of the Left Party, which, of course, is the former SED, so this is who was in power in Eastern Germany. Many personnel have overturned, of course, but there's still some of the old timers in there. It's gonna remain interesting. And yeah, maybe it's gonna be another big coalition, but this time with a, you know, social democratic chancellor. There is a, you know, possibility where Laschet, the CDU candidate, could play it. to make himself chancellor, but that would be, of course, you know, a bit of a big bet since he wouldn't get most of the votes, and he is trailing far behind in who Germans would like to see as their chancellor. Actually,
it's not as expressive as we would usually a political campaigning from various colors and political denominations expect. It just seems, again, seems a little muted, much like you said in the beginning, which I find also very surprising coming or observing the political sphere.
Well, I mean, the big traditional parties are losing members left and right. The political landscape is much more colorful than it's been even 20 years ago. People are looking less to the, you know, community, but more to themselves. And so more parties have, you know, little splinter topics that they're talking about that people feel are not being covered very well by the big parties. So yeah, it is more convoluted. It is, a lot less clear. And the choices are a lot less clear. We have a Wahl-O-Mat. You can go online and answer questions. And the Wahl-O-Mat tells you then which party your view is most closely aligned with. So that it also gives the tiny parties a chance that people, you know, find them. I don't think there's an English version. It's just a German version.
Yeah, I have not heard of it actually altogether. So this is basically a pre-recording prior to the election. We'll broadcast this on Election Day, which would be this 26th of September, 2021. And then we'll have a follow-up podcast where we have Katrin back, including Wim, who is boots on the ground in Germany, and those who have been following our podcast for a while will probably remember Wim. He has been our guest twice, certainly looking forward to the third time, and Wim can probably really give us a good idea of the temperature in Germany and what it feels like, how people are thinking about the outcome and what their future concerns, hopes, wishes, and dreams are. And I think with that, we'll just wrap, so to speak, the forecast, the thoughts, and what the ideas could be going into the election. Katrin, anything else we need to add before we close this?
It will remain interesting.
Yes, it will. All right, then we'll cut this one here. Audra, thank you so much as usual. Katrin, thank you. And we will hear you again with our basically wrap-up podcast, seeing what the Germans did decide upon.